señoras, that stood for Student Education Need Order to Reduce HIV. And our university, this is one picture around the nursing school. And you'll see I'm a consultant at the very bottom and helped out with the project. But she takes most credit for implementing the procedures. And she got funding from the Office of Women's Health. It was supposed to be 1 year to do focus groups, and then another year and another year. So the way the project started is we wanted to find out, given cost restraints, what would be the best way to implement a sustainable long-term program. And the focus groups led us to implement something with peer educators. She's part of the nursing faculty. So as you'll see, we did focus groups with and got funding to do sort of a peer educator model. At FIU, there's a lot of varieties of, we wanted to have the nursing students teach other students and felt that would be the most cost-effective model. There's not one type of Hispanic ethnicity at our university. It's the largest Hispanic-serving institution, but it has a lot of varieties which lead to a lot of variability in the social norms associated with sets. But in countrywide and in Florida, the epidemiology shows that this is a very high-risk group, particularly Hispanics who are between the age of 16 and 24. Hispanic women are one of the fastest-growing groups. There's more statistics, and these are a little dated, but everything seems consistent with the face of the epidemic being very vulnerable women and younger adolescent or early 20s are at a lot of risk. And there's a lot I could say in many speeches about the biological vulnerability of the younger population. There being a lot of transgender generation where you have, is that the right word? Where you have an older sugar daddy and they want to, it's not necessarily in a college population where you have the survival sets, but there's often the, you can't trust older men. And they're much more vulnerable, and the rate of HIV is much higher in this population of women than men. So basically, that was the big focus. And there's a lot of cultural factors because this population has recently come to the U.S. and there's strong norms that they don't talk and negotiate or know anything sexual about condoms or keep condoms. And the man has a lot of the machismo and is supposed to be sexually experienced. So we're trying to, in terms of the lessons from the focus group, develop an intervention that focuses on this desire to remain a virgin, pure for marriage, but not necessarily chase the man away who is interested in the, you know, in having, initiating sex. And we need to focus in developing our intervention on these realities. I think it was very important for us to, as we continued, and I'll get to the final, this thing's not moving. Oh, there it is. To focus on the heterogeneity, and the reason why we ended up doing a peer educator model is it's something that's sustainable, it's inexpensive, and you basically could deal with a lot of the different issues. One of the main issues we found in doing this intervention was, let me get to some of the, I'm learning out of time, so of the main issues was education. The women were trying to stay technically virgins, so they did oral sex, which can transmit the virus. But more than that, there was a lot of increasing amount of anal sex because it retained their ability to say they were technically a virgin, but of course we all know that that's much more risky than the vaginal sex. So we basically have a group that didn't really have much education. One of the big issues was not even how to use the condom, but assessing a condom and making it available because there was such a social norm about not having that accessible. So that was another part of the peer educator sitting down to find out where they were. Now, the male was someone we had and we found when we talked to the population that this would open it up. And when we made them peer educators, they were more comfortable talking about sexual issues to teach others and actively learning it than basically talking about themselves. And it seemed like one peer educator, and there's a lot of evidence, which I don't have time to review, was most cost effective because they could teach other people this stuff. And what seems to be very impressive in their literature is that when someone becomes a peer educator and teaches others, that leads to the most potent change in themselves. The act of learning and learning about the resources is very essential in this approach. So we used a lot of things to reframe the reality and the norms, and they like these types of catchy things to get them in, but it was teaching others. Now, one of the things on the campus is, and I don't know how it is in Los Angeles or San Francisco, but a lot of methamphetamine, a lot of drugs, and that seemed to be a very strong stimulating factor. So the peer educator would have a list of things to act about, and oftentimes within the focus groups and when we did our pilot preliminary stuff, the drugs seemed much more rampant in combination with using a lot of Viagra. There was a lot of, among the men, sexual sensation seeking, and our way of dealing with this is to educate the peer educators where to refer the woman or the male partner for problems with these things. And again, it was humor was important for breaking the ice for what? At least the pictures are organized. Now, the cartoons are mine, the slides are someone else. Don, do you get that? Okay, so moving on. How am I doing on time?
You've got 5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. So I have a few more slides. So basically, the thing that I felt needed individualized attention. What happened is the peer educators, which is on, let me get to the last slide. Hopefully I can get back. The peer educators would be taught, learn, and we found, as you'll see on the later slides, that when you teach a peer to help others, that helps them the most. That is like the most effective way we find, and you could go through the literature, of having someone teach other people the approach. So we had a lot of them teach this, and they basically went over how to use the condom, which a lot of the women didn't know. The access was a major problem. But above that, drugs kept coming up. That alcohol was on board, but now methamphetamine and Viagra. And when you got, besides the raging hormones that are associated with the adolescence or early year, youthful years, these drugs produced a lot of disinhibition. So that was a major focus, but it seemed to be better to try and refer them rather than do everything yourself, to discuss with them and have the peer educators know of the drug services to be able to screen, for instance, if the students was just problematic or you needed much more health intensive drug abuse counseling. There's also in the focus groups there was issues many times coming up, particularly with the women, and doing exercises of role playing, because within the general Hispanic class there was variation, but there seemed to be lots of inhibition ingrained over many years not to talk about sex, not to be sexually experienced, not to be able to negotiate, and just giving them the condom was a prime theme that came up in the focus groups. Their extreme embarrassment concerning how to find and acquire a condom. I know I have about 2 minutes left. Let me get questions to focus me. That'll
questions,
be at the end.
But go ahead. If you have
that will focus me. Okay.
Sure. Are there any questions?
That will focus me more,
yes,
because
sir.
I'm a little. The desired outcome was to make a sustainable program to do the first step to start working at our college and implement some evidence-based hybrid approach of interventions. With the limited money, the goal was to get a group of sort of peer educators, peer advocates, and have them go for the approach, learn the technique, and then disseminate it. We didn't have, with $100,000, which sounds like a lot but doesn't go far, enough to do the gold standard randomized design. So it was, more of a quasi, let's start polytesting and designing something tailored for this population. Does that answer your question? Good question. It focuses me better. It was more of a generalizable thing where these were graduate school nurses. Sandy Jones, who was going to present today, the PI of this project, is on the faculty in nursing. And that seemed to be a good, accessible leadership population that needed and would have lots of contact to make this a seminal program. So we chose the nurses because it made sense as a population that would be involved in student health centers and other places and be accessible for them. And near peers in the sense that it's expensive in terms of professional time for us to do the work, and more, they were available and there was a comfort level in that they were very similar to the high-risk population. A lot of them were at high risk. So it was a convenience thing, but it was a logical step for Dr. Sandy Jones to take in choosing this for the funded project. And the RFA directed them to do something like this. Am I done?
You got it.
Sorry.
That's great. You great on time and great on the presentation.